This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details.
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James and Noel Clark on FUBAR Radio.
I just love the music, man.
Week two, I know. It's like we've not left. You've just been jamming this whole week.
That was Grace Al-Kalala.
She's on the soundtrack to your movie, man.
I know, she's awesome, but I just listen to the vibes. I don't really...
I know, I love... That's a great one when you're like on the way to work or somewhere.
Yeah.
What a London commuting
tune. Or post-coital. Post-coital, that one.
Post-coital?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying.
I get that.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
We're back.
It's Johanna James
and Clarky out here
on our brand new, kind of brand new show.
Yeah, it's the second episode of our show,
Back Row and Chill.
Back Row and Chill. as named by us, and we are smashing it, and we're glad to have you listening to us again. So please email in with any questions, especially film related, at
chill@foobarradio.com or tweet us at foobarradio.
Yeah,
we're talking all about film today, a bit of TV, theatre as well.
Indeed,
we've got a lot of guests coming in, so any questions you want us to ask or ask us, we've got some film reviews of what's going on. Who is coming in today? We've got actor Waj Ali.
Who's that?
He is a young up-and-coming actor.
Okay.
He's been in a couple of films, Red 2 with Bruce Willis.
Was he the guy in Four Lions?
I believe so.
Great. Okay, great. I'll mention that to him.
We're going to, yeah, we'll talk to him about that. So right. He's coming in soon. We've did an interview with Amar Sante, who's the director of new film A United Kingdom, which is
awesome.
Coming out. I went to, we've also got a theatre actress, Ajura Onashale.
Wow.
And she is at the moment doing, I think it's a one-woman show at
one
the South Bank. Yeah, the Royal Festival Hall.
That's amazing.
For the Africa Utopia Festival.
That is amazing.
So we're going to be like picking her brains. Like,
that's
what?
Amazing. Oh, you know who else is here?
Who else is here?
You know who else is here? A good friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And weirdly, coincidentally, because this is how we roll.
Yeah.
Right? Serendipitously. Mm-hmm. He's also in A United Kingdom, the Amar Asante movie.
Yeah.
Arnold O. Chimshengsman. Yeah, see, because I'm not really sure how we pronounce his name.
I say Arnold Oseng.
I think he's like a Ninja Turtle villain. It's Arnold Okeng.
Okeng?
Yeah.
Arnold Okeng.
Yeah.
But he's also in Brotherhood. He's one of the main...
He is.
Yeah. How about that?
He is in Brotherhood.
How about that?
He's great in that film.
He's
good
absolutely
directing, I think.
Fucking hilarious in that film. So, yeah, Arnold's... He's two movies that we're talking about today, he's in. So we're going to...
He's flying, isn't he?
So, yeah, any questions for Arnold? Any questions for Waj? Any questions for Ajura?
Yes.
Yeah, tweet him in or email us. We're also going to be reviewing Purge, the new Purge Anarchy movie, which is out. And also the new, I've seen the new Blair Witch film as well. I got an exclusive screening this week that I went to. So I'm going to be
Just a sneak. Is witchy as witchy as she was in the last Blair?
Witchy is back.
Okay, great. Okay, no, let's save it for the review. Guys, make sure you listen to Johanna's review of Blair Witch 8 or whatever the number it is. I don't know.
It's coming. Well, I think technically it's 3. I didn't even know there was a technical second one. But
it was called Book of Shadows, darling.
I don't even know. I'm sorry. Yeah. I was very young when the first one came out. I was too young.
Me too.
You too. All right. Okay, let me just...
Was that the
tumbleweed? That
yeah. Well, do you know what? You know what I'm going to say to you?
Yeah.
Aruba Shaka.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. You told me. We're having so much fun here with our,
our new
little audio cues.
Yeah.
Amazing. So, yeah, let us know what's happening. Also, it's a Friday. It's Friday afternoon. I'm feeling good. Are you going out tonight, Noel? Or are you?
Excuse me. What everybody should be doing tonight, by the way, everyone listening out here on Radioland, today is the opening night. Official opening night of Brotherhood, the movie, starring Johanna James, and mm-hmm. written and directed and starring yours truly, also starring Arnold Ocheng, our guest later. And you guys need to go tonight and see Brotherhood. It's the opening weekend. Do not let these American films win the weekend. UK. Let the British film.
All the way.
Yeah.
And well, because it did come out, was it previews? It out from Bank Holiday Monday, so it's
previews.
It's been out.
American films do the previews as well. Sausage Party did previews. We've done a few previews, but previews are just previews. Today is the official release. And after this show, not before, when this show is done, pick up your purse or your snapback, guys. Go out and watch Brotherhood.
No, I recommend it as well. And I heard little birdie told me that it actually did quite well in the previews.
It's doing all right.
It's doing good.
We'll see.
Yeah? Well, that's really exciting. My parents went to see it, which is always the bit, you know, the critics.
I have a question for you.
Yeah, go on.
Quickly. Did Daddy turn the radio off last week when he was told to turn the radio off?
He did. He said he was listening in Sainsbury's and he whistled all through the dirty game that we played.
Fantastic.
We've got more dirty fun coming later. I've got some cards up my sleeve for
Arnold.
You've
got very posh there.
I know.
We've got more dirty fun coming later.
Dirty fun. I put my dirty posh voice on when I get all cheeky.
Guys, she's not posh. She's like proper trailer trash. So when she does that voice, like, just know she's getting a bit.
You know. Shit's going down. So let's have a look. I've picked because we like, it's all about films today.
It's all about films every week.
As every week.
Yeah.
And so we try and pick the music that we're going to play are going to be somehow related to either the films that are coming out, films we love, or I've been listening to a lot of soundtracks.
Awesome.
So we've got some music coming up from the Purge Anarchy film.
Awesome.
Not Anarchy, that was the second one. Purge Election, that's the one.
Right, because the names are also different.
We got some more from the Brotherhood soundtrack.
Fantastic.
Ghostbusters soundtrack.
Who are you going to call?
Ghostbusters. Yeah. We've also got some from the Suicide Squad soundtrack. Fantastic. As crap as that film was, the actual soundtrack, I'm loving it.
Is the music better than the film?
Yeah, I'm loving it.
Hmm.
So
would we enjoy the film if we went there with like a blindfold on? And just listen to the music.
I think they've got like old school. They're doing that sort of
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Where they put some 70s stuff in, and then they've also got some modern stuff.
Guardians of the Galaxy is a good film.
And I think my favourite track, I think I might just play one now.
Great.
It's actually one of my favourite songs of all time. And normally I'm
of all time.
Yeah, Queen, Bohemian Rhapsody is my favourite.
Right, do one it.
Of, yeah, but this is not by Queen, and I couldn't believe that I enjoyed it. It's by Panic at the Disco.
Wow.
And I enjoyed it, so I thought I'm going to play that now for everyone.
Great. I've never heard of them. I've not heard this track.
You've never
Johanna,
heard of Panic at the Disco?
No. If Johanna likes it, I trust her. Stay listening to us.
Yeah, stay listening. Well, after the break, we're going to have Waj Ali, our first guest. So stay tuned, guys. We're just going to play the... Oh, no, the computer's not working.
Oh, the computer's not working.
Oh, no, we definitely got it. We got it now.
So
we got
I'm just going to sing it until she finds it. Oh, you got it? She's got it. All right, come back after.
Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see.
I'm just a poor boy, I need no sympathy.
'Cause I'm easy come, easy go, little high.
Easy come, easy go, will you let me go?
Yes, dear.
mia, mamma mia.
Beautiful.
Man, that was beautiful.
I love that version.
Thank you, Johanna. You sure that wasn't Queen?
No, that was Panic at the Disco. Wow. I can't believe it. Love it.
Is that your phone beeping?
Was it my phone? No, my phone's on silent. I'm good. I'm good, radio.
I'm wondering. Anyway, who's here?
Right, we've got our first guest in the studio. Woo! It is Wajah Lee.
Hello, hello, hello.
Yo. Ali Ababwa.
Yes. No, sorry. Ali Baba.
Thank you, man. Dude, hey, it is so great to have you in, man.
No, I loved you in
Four Lions, man. You were awesome. I loved you in that.
No, I wasn't in that, man.
You weren't in Four Lions?
No.
You weren't Wedge from Four Lions? You look just like him, though.
That was the character. I went in that.
Oh.
So who are you, bro?
I'm an actor. I'm like up and coming, man. Done a few films.
Right.
Okay.
I'm just awkward, I think.
Yeah. Okay. You know what? Hey, listen. Honestly, it's great to have you in.
Thank you.
So, Johanna, take it, man. Take it from here, man. Yeah. Tell us about you.
Okay. So, well, I have known Waj for a few years.
Yes.
But we haven't caught up
since
in a long time.
Since he did Shifty.
No, I wasn't in that much.
That's not you?
No, that's not me.
Was that him as well? That was the other one as well.
So, just so we understand here, sorry, listeners, who the fuck are you, bro?
Basically, all brown people don't look the same. That's Riz Ahmed. Wajah Ali.
Riz Ahmed?
Yeah, man.
You're not Riz Ahmed?
Nah, man.
Oh. But you look bloody like him. No. You could be his twin. You should play his twin.
We don't look alike.
Do you not?
No.
All right. I'll take your word for it. I gotcha.
So what have you been in, Mr. Ali?
I've done a few films. Since I come out of drum squad, I've been in a film called Red 2.
Yeah. That's with all the old people being...
It's called Retired Extremely Dangerous, yeah.
Being like badasses.
Basically,
it's got, what is it, Bruce Willis?
Bruce Willis, John Malkovich, Helen Mirren, big cast.
Wow. Yeah, so you're in a Bruce Willis, Helen Mirren
movie?
I was,
I had a scene with Bruce Willis and John Malkovich, which
what?
Was nervy.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, I know.
And
really
what were you
good.
Playing
what
in the film?
Terrorist.
You're playing a terrorist?
Of course. Brown, exactly. Brown guy was a terrorist.
That's surprising, man.
You're of Kurdish descent?
Was your role in the Bruce Willis film similar to when you did The Reluctant Fundamentalist?
I didn't do that one either.
Oh, that wasn't?
No.
That was like the Riz guy.
That's the Riz guy, yeah.
Bro, man, I'm sure your work is awesome anyway.
So
tell us more.
Yeah, you were a terrorist in that movie.
Yeah.
So what did you have to do? How did you...
I was playing a helicopter pilot who gets shot down. So I had to basically... It's really quick. So I had basically like die basically in the film.
It
was really cool. Spent a few days working on it.
Did you learn how to train, how to be in a helicopter?
I didn't. No, they didn't. They gave me 10 minutes just beforehand. of training, pushing a bunch of random buttons, but, you know.
So you were
Sounds like you in this radio.
That's me at the moment. It's like winging the shit out.
What am I doing?
I don't press anything.
I press all the buttons. Yeah. It was all down to me. So you literally were just acting cool, winging it, improving that you could drive this
helicopter.
Basically,
yeah. That's what we do, actors, man.
So school me a second. So yeah, just man. So young people out there understand, you went to, what, one of the big rich drama schools?
No, actually. It's coming up, actually. It's called London School of Dramatic Art.
Boom. Mm-hmm. Hear that, guys? London School of Dramatic Art.
Went there, done an advanced diploma.
That's where I went.
Yeah.
You went there too?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. It was good, man. Got such great training out of it. It was invaluable.
So you went to a small drama school, not one of the big rich ones that went off, by the way. Do we need that? You went into a small drama school, not one of the big rich ones, and now you're doing movies with Bruce Willis and Helen Mirren.
Exactly, exactly.
Man, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, yeah, no. I think everyone thinks that you got to go to these big drama schools to make it, but you don't. You need good training. I think I got that there. A lot of our teachers were actors themselves, so... Mm. They kind of been through it themselves, and they can pass that knowledge on to you. So it was really, really invaluable.
But you still have to work hard, obviously.
Of course,
though, yeah?
Of course. Yeah. And it was like, because we do 1 year there, it was intense. It's like cramming 3 years that they do at the rich ones that we do in 1 year. Yeah. So it's wicked.
Fantastic. Cool. You hear that, guys? So guys, if you're out there listening, like, you know, WAJ is a perfect example. You can actually, don't have to go to drama school, but you can go to smaller ones that are affordable, and you can come out and you can be doing films with Helen Mirren.
Exactly.
How cool is that?
Exactly.
Bruce Willis.
Yeah. Bruce Willis.
And what other... So that was
I've heard he's a dick. Fuck him. Is he a dick?
He was a dick. I mean, he kept us waiting quite a lot, but
what a
Bruce
diva.
If you're listening, I'm just lying.
I'm not sorry, Bruce.
Love you, Bruce. I watched a Bruce Willis film last night. I watched Looper.
It's a wicked film.
Joseph
Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah, I would say it's more of a Joseph Gordon-Levitt movie than a Bruce Willis movie.
I was just overwhelmed. He plays a younger version of Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis,
and I keep just looking at the screen going, how the bloody hell do you look like Bruce Willis?
No.
Like, I was just working out. It was just... blew my mind.
He's lost his hair 20 years later and it's Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
It's amazing. There's this thing called makeup that people use.
I know, but that was like award-winning makeup. But also, handed to Joseph, it was his acting. He did the voice, he did the look.
Very good.
The weird mouth.
The weird side mouth thing Bruce does.
It was Joseph doing the acting.
Yeah.
I love that film, Looper. Check it out. It's on Netflix, so
fantastic.
Check it out.
So what else?
So what was the...
I've done another film on Netflix called Good People, which I had a scene with James Franco with.
Nice.
Which was really cool. Yeah, I played a bailiff in that one. I didn't play a typical brown guy, but it was really good.
So you were a bailiff, not a terrorist.
Not a terrorist, believe it or not.
Bro, that's a step up.
That's a full range.
If that ain't a step up, I don't know what is. You
man,
know?
That's a step up, man. Yeah. That is a step up. Yeah, I like that. And when was that?
It come out last year, but we filmed that a few years back. 2013 we filmed that.
Wow. And it got stuck sort of in place.
Yeah, you know how it is. It takes really long. But it's on Netflix now. It's called Good People. And you'll see me in the first 10 minutes. I got a scene with Franco.
Fantastic.
How was Franco?
A bit worse than Bruce, actually.
Oh my god, you just get all the demons. Know,
this is we're not fucking around, man. Like,
I'm just lying. He was great, man.
We're going to expose you guys, man. Behave yourselves out there.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I actually recently met Dave Franco.
Dave?
And I interviewed him.
Yeah,
how was he?
Interviewed him.
Well, I tried to get him to kiss him or to get him to kiss me.
I think I saw this. Yeah, he kissed your boyfriend, didn't he? But he didn't.
He turned me down.
Yeah.
He literally turned me down. Mm. I was like,
it's not good for yourself.
I got rejected by Dave Franco. I did also accidentally call him James Franco. So
great, yeah. So that's
not
that helps. Yeah.
That probably didn't.
Yeah.
Not the best.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Okay. Well, thank you. And you doing any projects at the moment?
Yeah, I'm about to film a Channel 4 miniseries, which I can't talk about actually, but it's coming out next year. And I just done a film called 90 Minutes, which we still got some pickup days on.
Fantastic. How long is that film?
It's a feature film. How long is it? I'm not good with sarcasm right now.
Tip your waitress on the way out, thanks.
But yeah, that's coming out next year as well. The trailer's on Facebook called 90 Minutes.
Check that out, guys.
Is there anything like 120 hours? Are you stuck somewhere for 90 minutes?
No. Actually, I am, it's on a football pitch. It's about football.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I'm stuck on the sidelines.
Are you a terrorist?
No, but I am
playing. Are you a bailiff?
I'm not, no, man. I'm playing another brown guy in it, though. But yeah.
Okay.
What, no,
Iranian in this one.
Right.
I'm going to cover all the Middle East soon.
So do you have to, because you're Kurdish, but obviously you're British, but do you have the accent? Are you requested to put on the...
80 to 90% of my auditions are with a Middle Eastern accent.
Really?
Let's go there, so that tells you a lot.
Is it good?
You want to know what it sounds like?
Yeah,
it's a bit like this, and you curl your arms like this, and yeah.
Mate, that is fantastic. I literally thought I was about to be killed.
Yeah. I thought there was a terrorist in the room. Like, wow, I think I need to recover.
Okay.
Well, thank you for being our first guest. We want to play a little game with you.
Gonna play a game.
Because me and you went to the same drama school,
yeah.
So we would have been, you know, we would have known how to play all these drama games and whatnot. We're going to play mock auditions, which we did last week with Jason Mazza.
Cool.
We're going to play it again. So we're going to make up some scenarios. If you want to direct again, Noel, because that's your...
I just want to just say for the record, I'd have much rather had Riz Ahmed in here, just for the record, bro. Like,
it's a shame.
You know,
it's a shame.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I like to play in the Champions League,
yeah.
You know, being in the Champions League myself and not first division.
Yeah, we all got to get there, you know?
I'm supporting you, brother, which is why I allowed, you know, Johanna to bring you in, even though you're not, to keep you in, even though you're not rich. Anyway, mock auditions.
Mock auditions. So we think of some scenarios, and then me and you can just sort of exercise our acting.
Okay, let's do it.
Joseph.
Yes.
Okay. So you are a lawyer.
I'm a lawyer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know that's a bit out of the box for you.
Yeah. I've never done that before. Yeah.
You are a lawyer from Palestine.
Okay.
And you're about to board. You've just boarded, sorry, a train. This lady, unreasonably, is very worried about you and is asking you about what's in your bag. You have sex toys in your bag.
Okay.
But you don't want to tell her. But I think you're going to have to before she calls the police. Okay, action.
Okay, guys. So I'm just going to. Excuse me. Can I sit there, please?
Yes, sure.
Come sit.
Yes, of course.
Okay. Hi.
Hello.
Oh wow, that's a big bag that you've got there. Can I just move it? I'll sit on that.
Yeah, I move it. I move it.
Oh,
sit
thank
down.
You.
Yes.
So, where are you from?
I am from Palestine.
Oh,
yes.
That's from the Middle East.
Yes, the Middle East. Yes.
Okay. Have you been in England long?
A few years.
Right.
Oh, sorry. And you guys are in America.
Oh, we've been in America long.
A few years. Yes.
Right, okay. So, excuse me, what is in your bag there?
It is bulky. My work. I'm a lawyer.
You're a lawyer?
Yes.
Right,
yes.
Okay.
I'm a political lawyer, yes.
Oh, political?
Yes.
Oh, so you, like, don't like America?
No.
Or?
No, I didn't say that, no.
Okay. Right, God, there's no receipts, are there? It's quite packed, isn't it? I can't really move. I'm going to have to sit next to you. Okay,
yeah,
you.
Come, I told you, you can sit.
Excuse me, I'm just going to text my mom. I'm just going to text my mom. I just need to tell her I love her.
Okay.
So, there we go. All right, that's done. Okay. Right, so.
Right, get in the bag. You don't want us to get in the bag.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. I think something is ticking or vibrating in your bag.
No, I'm sorry, nothing.
Are you sure? Because I'm pretty sure there's something in your bag.
There's nothing in the bag, I swear.
I think no. There's something in the bag.
There's nothing in his bag. I have sex toys. It's a vibrator.
A what?
A vibrator. Can you keep it quiet, please?
Show me your vibrator.
Okay, don't.
If it's really a vibrator.
It's a vibrator. I swear, you don't need to see it. It's a vibrator.
Oh my God, it is.
Yes, look.
Okay. It's huge.
Okay, keep it.
Brilliant. Oh, fantastic scenario. That was fantastic. Great stuff.
That was fun.
Yay. I felt like we were there. We were on the train. I felt like a panicked American lady.
Very good.
Yeah, they were all panicked, apparently.
Yeah, I know.
They were all panicked, apparently. That was great, man. Right, are we doing another one, or are we moving on? What's the time?
Well, it's 4:30. I think we might just be out of time because we've got to go to our next song.
No,
but thank
cool.
you so much, Waj, for
Thanks
coming
a lot.
In.
Thank
Yo,
you.
Riz, I love you, man. Thanks so much for coming in, brother.
Yeah, it's funny, man. That's funny.
Yo, Waj Ali. No, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Up and coming actor, guys. Please check him out. He's wonderful.
Check him out.
And
on
he knows
Netflix.
I'm teasing him. All right.
Thanks,
guys.
Cool. Now, next, we're going to go to a song from the Brotherhood album.
Boom. Soundtrack. Yeah. Let's do it.
I love it. I love this one. This is by Winnie Williams.
Winnie.
And
sounds like a horse.
It's my horse, Winnie.
A horse jockey.
And it's called Too Strong. And I've been listening to this all week. I've literally been listening to the album all week. And this is one of my favourite songs from it. So here we go, guys. We're on Netflix and chills. Come back in like 5.
Back row and jaw. What a tune.
I know.
That's actually... Well, maybe let's introduce who we got in here.
Right, we have got Arnold Oseng.
Yo!
What's up, man? What's up?
I'm good, man.
Listen, I need to ask you something.
Talk to me.
How do we actually pronounce your last name?
Do you know what?
Just so people know.
It sounds Chinese, but it's not. So it's Ocheng.
Oh. It's Ocheng.
Ocheng.
You know there's an H missing, right?
I know. I need to talk to my mum about that. It's crazy, man. It's Ocheng, yeah.
Ocheng.
So how you doing, man? Sorry.
Bro, I'm good, man. I'm just on cloud nine right now. Things are, as you lot know, things are going so well with the film and everything and the response.
I need to interrupt you. Listen, so you have to pretend, kind of, that I'm not me.
Okay.
So when I say, what was it like working with...
I got you. But wait, can I just say as well, it was proper sick to see Riz Ahmed here, you know, bruv.
Oh,
I haven't seen him in a long time, and to see him, he sounds like he's doing well.
He's doing well,
Aye, Riz, you know.
I knew it was.
We've got a big old Riz, man.
Love Four Lions.
All right, so listen, what's happening for you right now, man? This Cloud Nine business. Tell us what's going on.
So we got this film called Brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
And sounds excellent.
It's amazing. So my character comes back from adulthood.
Yeah, because you were in the second film as
well. Yes, I was in adulthood, and with Brotherhood, people get a sense, a bigger sense of Henry. He gets to show his character a bit more. He's matured, he's grown, you know, he's got a wife, he's got a child, you know, he's on bigger and better things. He's making jewelry on the sofa with his wife. that's the relationship goals, right?
Yeah, I know, right?
Mate, that sounds like some great writing there.
That's amazing writing, you know. Yeah. It was amazing writing.
Something like that. Pass the crystal, babe. Okay, babe. Do you want silver or rose gold?
Do you want silver? You get gold, baby.
Am I correct in saying you're also in another film that's coming out pretty soon, eh?
Yeah. I'm also in a movie called United Kingdom by Amar Asante, starring David Oyelowo and Rosamund Pike.
Jana, isn't that the woman that you speak to?
I spoke to her this week. Cause
no
I went,
way.
I know. Small world. I went to the BFI festival launch opening.
That was yesterday, right?
It was.
Or was it the day before?
I think it was yesterday. The week just gets smaller and smaller. Yeah, it was yesterday, Thursday. And basically, I got to see all the films that are coming out at the festival.
But watch them.
No, I got to see all the trailers.
Oh, sorry, okay.
There were so many. It took 2 hours just to sit in the theatre in Leicester Square and see all the trailers. But the first film, the opening film of the whole entire festival is A United Kingdom.
Fantastic.
And then I got to go and interview the director of it. And I saw you. I didn't even know you were in that film. And then I looked up
and
there was your face. And I was like, there's Arnie.
And he's like, oh, what took up to this?
Yeah, because you have an accent in
it. I've got an accent in that one.
Do the accent, bro.
You know, I can't do the accent now. We are doing interviews. You cannot ask me to do these things now.
I love it.
But that's an amazing film. For people who don't know what that is, do you want to just like quickly explain to people?
Oh yeah, I mean I'm sure Emma will say it in an interview, but yeah, quick rundown. It's a period drama set in the 1940s.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically a love story between David Oyelowo and Rosamund Pike. It's a true story about Soretse Khama, who is heir to the throne in Congo, but then he is sent to London. No, sorry, he's sent to England, Oxford University, mm-hmm. To study and get prepared to, you know, become king, but then he falls in love with Rosamund Pike.
I love this, and I love you, and I think something very important here that people might have missed. There's black people in this film, and you said it's in the
1940s.
Yes. Now, I want a lot of you young actors out there, especially the black ones, to know that
we've been about.
We've been about. as he says. You know, don't feel like anything previous to 1975, you can't get roles, man.
You can get it.
Let's hope that people are opening their minds and making films like this where you can prove that we were here and at Oxford University.
And that's the good thing with Amar, because Amar loves to tell stories of, you know, black stories of our culture that haven't been told before. Mm-hmm. And the good thing with the United Kingdom is, you know, when David's character gets sent to Oxford University to study, it was sort of a time where, like, it was like a rat pack of educated black, very intelligent men, all in Oxford University. Like the character that I play, his name's Charles Njonjo, Kenyan, but he became the, later on after obviously Oxford University, he became the Attorney General. You know, another guy. You know, David's character became the president. You know, so all of us.
Is he still alive, your character?
Yes, he is, actually.
Because that weird playing someone that's still alive. And, like,
did you meet him?
No,
you're Kenyan. You're Kenyan, aren't you?
No, I'm not Kenyan. you're the start that old school joke. Okay. I see where it's going. Let's go. I'm ready.
Oh, man.
I'm ready.
But no, the film, like, the trailer looked amazing. And it's a true story.
True story, man.
And it still can kind of resonate today, you know, sort of... interracial couples and the struggles they face.
Definitely.
You know about that, don't you, Joe?
I do. Well, I have it from the other way around, because my mom is desperate for me to have a black boyfriend.
No way.
She literally.
Your mum's listening now as well, isn't it?
I'll give mum a piece,
mum, listen. I was gonna say something. Nah, mum.
But mumsy, like, seriously, you know what I mean? You don't have to fight it any longer.
You don't have to fight
it. You don't have to fight it anymore.
The dark meat is righteous. See, look, she's smiling there. She knows. Oh,
yeah, she knows. That's Natalie outside. She's one of our producers. She knows. You know about black don't crack, innit, baby?
You know about the dark meat.
She's nodding.
But many people today do have, they you know, parents maybe would still have really old school prejudices. So this film,
course,
I think, is going to be, it's going to be very, I'm so excited for this one.
He highlights
great,
it, yeah.
Great.
Yeah, cool. And anything else you're up to at the moment?
What am I up to at the moment?
Where are we going next week?
Yes, we're going to Toronto. We're going to the 6.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm staying here.
Yes.
We're going to Toronto. We're going TIFF. We're going Toronto International Film Festival, which is amazing. I've been before. Sick, man. And to go... I've got two films there, actually. United Kingdom and Brotherhood are there.
Both in Toronto Film Festival.
Both in
the man amazing? Of the moment.
Yeah, another moment.
Johanna's going to be free to run the radio show.
I'm going
to
be here.
You're going to miss me when I'm gone.
You're going to miss him. What are you going to do without your partner in crime?
No, I'm just going to have to, like, make a cardboard cut out of him and just do his voice and stuff.
Bring, like, a sex doll or something like that.
And just have it, sex doll,
yeah,
black
and
one.
Just put it there. Yeah,
yeah, hold on. What was that about? What was he, a Palestinian with sex toys in his bag?
Yeah.
Who thinks of these things?
I don't know, man. Johanna.
No,
they don't come from my mind.
Yeah, you know what? If it came from your mind, it'd be worse, to be honest.
Oh, man. So, mate, that's fantastic stuff that you got those two things coming out and going to Toronto with both films. That's brilliant.
Yeah, no, it's a proper blessing, man. It's a blessing. As I said, I went there with The Good Lie last year, and I know what to expect, so it's amazing, man.
So how do you find, because you've had a big surge in the last couple of years in your career. How have you found it? How have you adapted to suddenly being able to afford things and getting things for free?
Do you know what?
You know what I mean? You work all your life to afford it, and then they give it to you.
And then you give it to you for free, yeah.
What's the coolest freebie you've ever got?
The coolest freebie?
Yeah. Didn't you get a Segway?
Yeah, but that's not the coolest. Do you know, I'm going to say something, but it's going to sound dumb.
Okay, go ahead.
A kettle.
That does sound dumb, bro.
It does sound dumb, but now hear me out. Hear me out. Do you know where I got the kettle from?
No.
Toronto.
All right.
You know the gift and sweet?
Yeah.
It
makes you pancakes with maple syrup in the morning, and I'll like the kettle a bit more.
No, I don't get my pancakes, but, you know, the tea is on point, bro. I'm telling you.
You're so British.
I'm too British, man. I'm too British.
You got some free segues, because I remember I got the only time I've ever tried one was on the Brotherhood set, and we were just, like, going up and down the costume hall.
Oh, did I bring it?
Yeah.
I can't even remember.
So bear in mind,
you had two of them running around, and we were all having a go on them.
Yes, I don't think the director was very, because I hear he's a lovely man.
Yeah.
But I don't think
he was too chuffed about you guys running around in a segue in case anybody fell down and got.
To be honest, you know, the director, God bless his heart and everything, but I think, you know, he just doesn't have the balance. to be on those sort of things, you know, so
Is he too old?
He's maybe too old for that.
I feel like he stepped on it and nearly broke his tailbone.
He nearly did. But let's not name names on who it was. Let's not name names.
I've heard he's a wonderful man, though.
Yeah, he's cool. Oh,
man. Rhymes with Schmoll Schmark, I think.
Schmoll Schmark.
Yeah, the director. Schmoll Schmark.
You could have said rhymes with Noah's Ark, but you know.
That would have been
or tree bark. Maybe that's a sign. I should start building a boat or something.
Noah's Ark, tree bark.
Yeah, tree bark. All right, so what?
Johanna Fart. Sorry.
Mate, you were so good at this. I've got to give you this, man. I've got to give you this now.
I rude, but shut up. That's rude. You might have taken liberties. You did that to Riz Ahmed, yeah? Now you did it to me.
He got the tumbleweed, bruv.
Oh, you got the tumbleweed?
Yeah. He got the tumbleweed. You get the...
I rude, but shut up. Say that. We got Stormzy for that one.
Right. Okay, so what's next now? We are now...
Well, we're going to just pop... I think we're going to pop to a little song. And then afterwards, we're going to play a game, Arnold, because I've got some dirty things up my sleeve that I'd like to...
I'm on it. Let's go.
Play with you. So let me just have a look of what we've got next. So,
what song do you want, Joe?
Well, I've been listening to not only the Suicide Squad soundtrack, I've also been listening to the new Ghostbusters soundtrack, the one with all the ladies.
I'm still yet to watch that, man. I need to watch that. I haven't seen it yet either.
No, it was really good. I'm not too precious about the original, so I just went with like a complete fresh mind.
Oh, see, I'm like, that's part of my growing up, man. Yeah, like, sometimes I feel like some things,
just don't touch
them. Do you know, there was a big controversy before we play the track quickly. There's a big controversy about the fact that it was all women, and a lot of, I guess, nerdy, misogynistic dudes didn't like that. And a lot of girls were really, really like, yes, this is great as a woman. I think what would have been more empowering for women and what would have actually been better is if the women were on an equal footing in a mixed team with the men.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
I think so having like all women... Exactly. I think having all women was too much of a... statement.
It's too much of like a female, but Joy, you didn't. They were, the characters were so versatile, and you had like all the four of them were so different. You didn't. I didn't miss anything, and they were hardcore. Like the fight scene, it wasn't funny. It wasn't overly sexual. It was just a decent fight scene, and I was just like engrossed in the action. And again, the comedy. It wasn't playing up stereotypes. It was just funny.
So then, therefore, do you recommend it as a movie? Then,
yeah, I enjoyed it.
What would you give out of 10?
Out of 10 or 5? I would say a good 6. I didn't like love it. I wasn't raving about it, but I enjoyed it. And I really enjoyed the soundtrack, which is why I picked out a couple of songs. And so this was called American Woman by Muddy Magnolias. So I thought we'll just play this. And then afterwards we can play a game.
Yeah, let's play games.
All right, guys. This is Back Row and Chill, not Netflix and Chill, like I said before. We'll see you after the break.
I put it in a pan. Got my own, baby, life is grand. Every move I make is just a part of my plan. And I do it just because you said I can't. American woman.
can of woman.
FUBAR Radio presents
Penny Sylvester Incorporated with Michael Payne and Harley Sylvester from Rizzle Kicks.
How would you react if you were disturbed during Netflix and chill? By a person?
Pull out.
pull out the deal.
Been interrupted quite a few times.
Have you? How do you react generally?
It's just all quite funny, isn't it?
Okay, yeah. Cool. So how about if you're one of your parents?
That's happened as well, yeah.
No way.
I just went absolutely skits. Mom! No!
Every Wednesday.
Incorporated with Michael Payne and Harley Sylvester from
Rizzle Kicks. From 4 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
Guys, you're listening to Background Chill, Johanna James, Noel Clark, Arnold O'Cheng.
Yo.
O'Cheng. There's a missing H. There's a missing H still. Yeah.
Which is cool. And just, guys, to remind you, if you want to email in, chill@fubarradio.com.
Whose phone is that?
There is no phone.
Dude, I'm telling you. All right, go. Sorry. Come on.
You're freaking me out. And I've seen too many horror films this week.
Stay cool.
If you want to email in, like email some questions for Arnold, for me, for Noel. Let us know any film reviews that you've done. Is there anything that you've seen? Have you seen any movies that you can recommend? Let us know and we will shout you out on the show.
We will.
Right, Arnold, I found a game on the internet which I thought was quite fun.
Yeah, man.
And I want to play with you. And it's like, how dirty is your mind?
Oof.
So I'm going to ask you a couple questions. Okay. And
I thought like you should have had some theme music there.
I feel like
we're going to play How Dirty Is Your Mind.
That's
Aruba Shuffle.
Yeah, do you know what? I wanted you to do that because I wanted to know what number it was so I could do it and you lot are talking. I know now. Okay, let's go.
Okay, right. So I'm going to just ask you some pretty simple questions and just give your honest answers. So what starts with the letter P and ends with Orn and is the hottest part of the movie industry?
Porn?
Popcorn.
What?
You're dirty-minded.
Dirty-minded.
Right, man, you're dirty level one. Okay, so...
Okay, I see what you did. Let's go.
Your finger fits right in. You play with it when you're bored. Once you're married, you're stuck with the same one forever.
Johanna James's asshole.
I root by shut up.
What am I? What is it?
Engagement ring.
Oh man, you peeked at my sheet.
I probably didn't. Did I get it right?
Yeah, well done.
Yeah.
I sussed it.
Okay. What's about 6 inches long, goes in your mouth?
That's a white man thing, bro. That's not us.
and it's more fun if it vibrates.
Say again, what's 6 inches long?
6 inches long, goes in your mouth, and it's more fun if it vibrates.
What? Do you know the answer?
Toothbrush.
I don't know the answers.
That's sick. All right. Okay. I prefer the non-vibrating variety. I just want to put that out.
Yeah, I found vibrating toothbrushes weird. Mm-hmm.
Guys, can I just say after this here, because you lot are trying to twang me, I've got something for you after, but go on, carry on.
Okay, go on. Okay. This is the last one, so you can get this one. What does every woman have that starts with a V and she can use it to get what she wants? There's like a tumble we go.
By the way, a V and every woman has
every
one.
Every woman has. What does every woman has that starts with a V, and she can use it to get what she wants?
Voice.
Yes, thank you. Yes, yeah. There's like feminists across the nation. Man.
That is an awesome one.
Rejoicing.
That was a good one, man.
That was an awesome one.
Okay, well, actually, you're dirty. There's
enough
man
on typing vagina. V-A-J-I-N-Q.
My mind is, yeah, but I just knew the game.
It's basically a citizen of the gutter, isn't it?
Oof. I like that one.
That was good, though. I like that. Do you know what? I like that one, you know, that voice one.
Yeah.
As a feminist myself, I really although I see like we're getting a bit of flack for our representation of women in the film, but I'll talk about that in a moment. Anyway,
it's a story, you know what I mean? Like, come on, man.
Anyway, yes.
So no, that was fun. What did you have in my frog? That was my game.
It's a riddle.
Oh, a riddle. Okay, oh, I love
cool.
riddles.
Okay. I know you're good at riddles, so okay.
Oh, is it scary riddle? Or?
No, it's not a scary riddle.
Okay.
Okay, so. Father and son,
right,
are in a car accident.
Right.
Yeah, father and son are in a car accident. Father dies straight away.
Ambulance comes, takes the son to the hospital. Doctor comes in, says, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. I can't operate on him. He's my son. Who's the doctor? I'll repeat.
I'm literally here, though.
I will repeat. What? Father and son.
The doctor father is and the mother.
You bad man.
Yo!
Do you know what's so crazy? A lot of people, the way we are programmed, yeah, a lot of people don't associate doctors
with women.
With women.
I do. That's not how I roll, bro. Like, I'm
feminist.
I'm a feminist out here, man.
That's why I said that.
Do you know what my mind was jumping to, like, time travel shit. I was like, maybe he got in a vortex before he died.
I've heard the weirdest things. I've heard say, he's gay. Oh, it's the gay dad. Or, oh my gosh.
But he just jumped to, like, it's a woman.
It's the doctor. It's the mum. Yeah. So your sister-in-law's a doctor now. I'm very proud of her. Yes.
Seriously?
Yeah, you've met her a few times. She's a doctor now.
That's sick, man. Well done. Congratulations, man. Yeah. Congratulations.
Cool.
Yeah, fantastic. So you recently watched the film Arnold was in, right? Or you spoke to the director of a film that Arnold was in, right?
I did, which was United Kingdom. So
you spoke to Emma, right?
I did. I know. I got to catch. Well, I saw her on stage and I recorded her. She did this amazing speech about sort of her journey and everything. So I recorded that. And then afterwards, they were like, oh, you've got the opportunity to meet her. Fantastic. Do you want to ask her some questions?
Fantastic.
So I was like, cool. So I quickly recorded meeting her because she's a lovely lady. So down to earth and everything. What was she like to work with from your...
She's proper cool. I really did connect with her because it turns out she was in Grange. I was in Grangeville. She's from South London. I'm from South London. She's from Streatham. I live in Streatham now as well. So
Don't you live in Streatham?
It's actually St. Reetham.
St. Reetham.
St. Reetham.
Arnold doesn't live in Streatham no more. No. He lives in
St. Reetham. With his tea and his kettle.
That's his kettle.
Yeah. So yeah.
Fantastic. Amazing. Because I'm from South London. So I used to go ice skating in Streatham.
So is she the coolest director you've ever worked with? Or
I didn't think so.
The coolest lady director.
Oh yeah, the coolest lady director.
We don't sexually.
We don't
differentiate because that would be sexism.
Oh, okay.
Let's hear what
Emma said here. Let me just like line this up. Okay, yeah, this is her talking about a United Kingdom, her brand new film.
Fantastic. And so you said you're from Streatham, you're a Lewisham girl.
Well, Streatham.
Streatham.
It's southwest rather than southeast.
Okay,
but yeah,
it's on
yeah.
the borderline. Because I grew up in South London, so that's my end.
Yeah, so I'm Streatham Vale. Streatham High Road, Streatham Vale.
Yeah. And if, because we'll do a micro interview, but like just briefly your journey, how did you go from sort of there?
Oh my god. Look, first of all, I'm 46 years old. I don't even know if I can remember 46 years ago. I was a really shy child, and my dad wanted to bring me out of myself a little bit, but in a very gentle way. But he must have realised that I was very creative, and so he decided to send me to full-time stage school. You know, don't ask me how he came out with that idea, but he did, which meant I was able to, from the age of 10, on a daily basis, do all of the regular subjects that you do in school, but also have singing, dancing, drama classes as well.
Maths with jazz hands.
Yeah, maths with jazz hands. So I was super, super lucky, super appreciate and adore my late father for that. So by the age of 14, I was on Grange Hill. They call my episode classic now. That's how old I am. But from 14 to 17, I became really, really clear that I loved storytelling. I loved the world of entertainment. I loved the world of narrative stories, but I was a really bad actress. But I had some really...
I'm honest.
Yeah, I was a really bad actress, but there were some really great actors around me and I loved what they did. And in particular, we had quite a strong, tough storyline. One of my sort of last storylines or the years that I was in it revolved around one of the lead characters who was sort of the character that everybody loved being totally destroyed by a heroin habit. And I thought he was absolutely brilliant as he took that journey from a sort of relatively clean living boy to somebody who was completely ruined. I was in awe of what he did. I left Grange Hill at the age of 17, black actress, in the late 80s, no work, absolutely no work whatsoever, which was probably... not a bad thing for me since I wasn't a good actress, but I wanted to get my typing speed up, and the only way I could do it was by typing stories. I just used to type the stories that were in my head. One of those stories became a script, and the rest is history, really. I got my first series on TV at the age of 25. That was called Brothers and Sisters, and that's where I first met David Oyelowo, who's the star of the movie that we're opening the festival with.
And is that why you sort of chose to cast him? because you're like long standing.
He actually chose to cast me. Okay. So David, before he did Selma, found the book that our film is based on, written by Susan Williams, about Soretse Khama, who's this king from Bechuana land in 1947, and just thought this would be a great role to play, but also a really interesting story of how this couple's love kind of shook the foundations of the empire. But he held on to it, you know, he held on to it and waited till he was kind of a status and a position where he could, we would be financed for him to carry a film. He got the script committed.
He sort of called the squad together and was like, right.
He basically called the squad together, eventually called me, said, look, lady, I got a script. I think you should have a look at it. I looked at it. It was really interesting. I had some thoughts on it, how we could evolve it, all of that stuff. And again, the rest is history. We came together and made this movie. So he was actually on it before I was, along with the brilliant Rick McCallum, who was my day-to-day producer on the film and the kind of engine of the film. And so that David would be able to be on screen and do the acting that he needed to do as well. But it's down to the two of them that the film really got made.
And when did Rosamund come along? When was she slotted in?
So once I came on board, the question was, oh my God, who's going to play Ruth Williams? Who's going to play this woman that should play opposite David? And I just loved Rosamund in Gone
she's
Girl.
Fantastic.
I loved the movie. I loved her, but I'd previously loved her all along anyway. And I'd always sort of stood back and watched her at events like this one that we're at now and thought, there's something I really chilled about her that I like on screen. And so she was just an obvious, David had worked with her on Jack Ryan. She was an obvious person for us to send the script to and say, hey, what do you think? And not really knowing what she would think, you know, playing this woman who gets married to an African guy in 1947 and then goes back to Africa and lives out the rest of her life there, is that, would Rosamund want to play that? And she grabbed it with both hands.
Amazing.
Like literally, she took it by the horns and just loved the idea of it and threw herself in.
Well, thank you. I'm so excited because this is opening the festival, isn't it?
Opening the festival.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time. I know you're really busy today, but really appreciate it. Thank you.
Back row and chill with Noel Clark and Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
Hey guys, we're back. That was Amma Asante, the director of United Kingdom.
Great interview, Jo.
Yeah, just had a quick one. Just grabbed her on the red carpet.
Like, I can imagine her grabbing
her. Seized the moment. Yeah. Seriously, that was a good interview, man.
I was just like, hey, I just wanted to know. But yeah, she was a lovely lady and I can't wait to see that film. And your lovely face in it. Well, we've got a couple of emails in talking about you, so I thought I'd... we've got, hey guys, Arnold, you are so sick. I loved you in My Brother the Devil and The Good Life. Yeah. Who do you want to act with next? That's from Zoe.
Zoe.
Who? Okay. I don't know, you know, guys. I don't really work like that, you know. I know, you know, it's always good to say it out there so that, you know, you're putting it out into the ether and it will come to fruition, hopefully, you know. But I don't really have any actors that per se that I would like to work with. I'm very happy with actors that I already have worked with and formed bonds with and friendships with. But I don't really care about actors being attached to projects, big actors, whatever. All I really want to do now is just carry on doing good scripts, and it doesn't matter whether it's Hollywood or here.
Just the best work possible.
Just good stories. That's all I'm on at the moment. Indie films, big budget films, it doesn't matter.
Well, that's why I was so impressed with the BFI. It was just trailer after trailer of amazing stories.
Yeah.
And it was so different because when you go to the cinema and you see the trailers, most of the time it's remakes massive sort of, no offence, trilogies or things like that. It's like there's I want original stories.
Question for you though, how diverse did it look?
Very.
Yeah, well, that's interesting because, you know, that obviously, you know, there has been criticism of them for not being diverse.
So the BFI?
It's good to see that they are.
It was amazing. Like, you have one story, it was about this story of this Kenyan chess player, this young girl who is
Ugandan chess player.
Was it Ugandan?
What's it? The Queen of Katwe.
Yes.
David Oyelowo as well.
So that was amazing. There was like a story, there's historical true stories about a guy who read, he did a revolution in Georgia against the sort of civil war.
Great. Well, I look forward to seeing a lot of those things.
Things that stories from all over the world. Young Polish children. In the 80s.
Cool. We got a quick email here before we go to. I know you want to play another track. Before we go to the track, quick email here from Bethan. Guys, I've only just discovered this show and love it so much. Thank you so much. Can I ask a question? Who have you most enjoyed kissing on screen, and who would you like to kiss, and would you go fully nude?
Is that for all of us?
Let's start with Arnold. Yeah. Who have you enjoyed kissing the most? Except me.
Yeah, true. I enjoyed kissing Lashana. Lashana Lynch, who plays my wife.
Yeah,
in Brotherhood, out now. Who would you like to kiss?
Who would I like to kiss? Our lovely presenter right here.
Johanna James,
orcs, obviously.
Tumbleweed, orcs.
You know. No, don't do it!
FUBAR Radio presents...
Googling the meaning of sore and erect.
This is how you know it's real.
That's how you know we're live.
Live.
And quickly, would you ever go fully nude?
Yeah, of course I would.
Okay, Johanna James, who have you enjoyed kissing?
I had a couple of kisses in Brotherhood. They got cut from the film.
Mm-hmm.
And Daniel, he was a lovely little smooch.
Yeah, all right. Well, little people kiss well, though, don't they?
They do.
I'm sure I'm in there.
Who would you like to kiss?
Ooh, who's on my radar? Who do I fancy? Taron Taylor Johnson.
He's right. Okay, and
who's that?
Kick-Ass guy.
He's from Kick-Ass.
Oh, yeah.
Curly-haired nerd.
Would you go full nude? This is from Bethan.
I would. I've done full nude in an audition.
Have you? Never didn't know that. Right.
In an audition, yeah. I got to the final round of an audition. And
you had to go naked?
Yeah.
Full nude.
I bet that was a wonderful audition.
That was a wonderful audition.
It was for a film. No, not was for it? A porn film.
Anyway, guys, for me, I would
king of that.
I enjoyed kissing Tonya on Brotherhood.
Hold on, do you have a list there?
No, this is the question. I was just remembering what Bethan said. Who would I like to kiss? I have no idea. And would I go full nude? I've done it many times.
He's fully nude in Brotherhood.
Right, back on track, as it were.
Onto a track. I thought I'd play a little song for us so we can prepare for the next section. So this is from Ghostbusters. It's called Ghostbusters, but it's by Fall Out Boy and Missy Elliott.
How come you don't even play No Brothers soundtracks?
We played two today. You're not even listening.
She's skipping the grime today. Maybe I'll bump one of those.
This is what I'm saying.
We'll bump one later track and put one on. But for right now,
got a bit of Missy Elliott here. All right, okay, cool. But yeah, we'll get back onto the Brotherhood.
Did you say Missy Elliott?
Well, she's not grime, but she's like a little bit.
Ghostbusters.
It's a little bit more rappy.
Oh,
That was the coolest, like,
you know what?
Calm down from a song.
Do you know what? That was a cool tune, though. Okay. That was cool.
That was all right, you know. That was all right. I really thought, you know, we're not gonna like that, but that was not bad. Let's hear it from Ghostbusters. So. We got a couple emails in.
Yeah, I'll start off. It says, I thought Suicide Squad was shit. Good cast, though.
It was.
Shame about the film.
Haven't even seen it yet.
Oh. Well, what would you say...
Don't bother.
...has another all-star cast... What film would you say has another all-star cast but has been a massive letdown? I think Expendables 3 was pretty awful from Dan.
Fantastic Four.
Oh, my
Fantastic
God.
Fantastic.
Am I right? You are right, bro. That was terrible.
Yeah, the money pumped into that.
There you go.
And the shit that came out.
Is that from Dan?
That's from Dan.
There you go, Dan. There you go. That's an all-star cast and a terrible
Fantastic
film.
Fantastic Four.
And it's like the terrible eight, because every time they do it, it's terrible. And they did it like...
Yeah. How many times has that been done, man?
Like four times,
I think.
Let it go,
man.
It's terrible. We got another email here from Drew. And Drew says... Loving the new show. Thank you, Drew.
Thanks, Drew.
Also, Brotherhood, big fan. Didn't think you could top the last one. Any recommendations for hip-hop films? Well, firstly, Drew and everybody listening, thank you for that. Brotherhood, we're very proud of it, and we did top the last one, and we're really chuffed, and that's from myself, Arnold, and Jana. Any recommendations for hip-hop films? Well, the obvious straight away, I would say, if you haven't seen it, is Straight Outta Compton, which is out now on DVD and download and everything. Any new hip-hop films, guys, that we can think of?
Well, there's Tupac All Eyes On Me coming out soon.
Tupac All Eyes On Me is coming out soon.
I know that.
What else?
Not sure.
Do you know what? That is a good question. I think what we should do, guys, is have a look at what's coming out. But yeah. Tupac All Eyes On Me is definitely on its way out. So you should check that out, Drew, when you get the chance.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for the question.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Got a little bit of entertainment news.
Hit me.
Today. So, obviously, I went to the BFI. launch party, there we are, and there's a couple of cool things going on over the summer. So there is a new Black Star Award that they're putting in this year, which is specifically for
black people.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you wouldn't have guessed it, right?
I don't know, man.
Why is it called Black Star?
Yeah,
Black
man.
Star, because I don't know, I had a very nice font.
Talk about the star is a black guy.
Talk about pointing out that you're black.
You're black, innit? And that you're a star.
But it's a new award category for the festival.
Is that true? Is that serious?
It's the new Black Star Award, the BFI. So they're honouring.
But
work
that, that makes sense, because you know they finished doing it. They started doing a month of playing black.
Yeah.
Films, right?
When is this happening, Johanna?
Well, the BFI, the festival's actually in October. I think it's the 5th to the 16th of October. Mm-hmm.
What's the name of the festival? What festival is it? Do we know which festival it is?
It's the BFI Film Festival.
Right, okay, great.
Yeah. And this new award's coming out. So I think I was just like, oh, Arnold, there we are.
Mate, I think that's yours, bro.
Maybe.
I think God that's willing. In the bag for
I mean,
that
I
old,
can't win it,
chin.
So, you know.
God willing, man. God willing.
Then also another thing that was quite cool is that they're building for the festival. They're building a brand new cinema in Embankment, so it's going to be in that Victoria Park right next to Embankment Station.
Oh wow,
it's
fantastic!
Brand new. It's going to be 750-seater, a brand new 4K digital screen, Dolby 7.2. So basically, if you're into your cinema, this is going to be
fantastic.
The place to go.
So the BFI are building this
they're
brand new cinema.
Yeah, yeah.
They're and pulling all, out all the stops.
This
all
is fantastic.
All the galas for all the films are going to be shown at that cinema.
Okay.
And the plans for it, they showed us the plans and it looked really cool. And I was like, well, yeah. I mean, more cinemas because cinema's been dropping out of London all over the place.
Because I take my kids to the cinema all the time. Like, we're not just at home. I just put the TV on.
No,
like, I take my boys
cinema.
To the cinema.
Love it.
Same, yeah.
You can't quite... Even if you have a big TV at home and it's comfortable and you've got duvet, there's nothing like going to the big screen.
Yes, I agreed.
Like, whoa. So I was like, yeah, well done.
Is that
done.
What you say when you see the screens?
I just go, whoa!
Whoa!
And the biggest screen... What's the biggest screen you've ever seen?
The biggest scene,
biggest screen you've ever seen.
Maybe
you've been
IMAX.
To IMAX.
Yeah, maybe IMAX.
There is the Sky Super Screen in the dome. In the I keep calling it the dome. The O2.
The O2. Yeah.
The Millennium Dome.
Other networks are available.
And there are. Yeah, they've got the Sky Super Screen, which is like ridiculously.
Is that bigger than IMAX?
Bigger than IMAX.
I don't know. I haven't been to the IMAX in many years. But
also, View have got a few of those. View Extreme screens.
So if you like your big screens, that's where you need to go and check that out.
I will do.
So that was sort of what I've got in the entertainment news for this week. I'm so impressed by what's going on.
That's fantastic that the BFI are doing that. Guys, it's always important to go to the cinema, so make sure you actually do get out. I know sometimes you kind of feel like, oh, I don't want to watch anything, but you know, don't pirate it. Go to the cinema. Yeah. It's a lot better.
And it can be affordable. Like, my my like hometown cinema is Peckham, and they...
Oh, the £5? Is it £5?
Yeah, it's £4.99 yeah, for everyone, yeah. Anytime, any film.
Peasants.
No, the Arnold said that, and he lives below the river, so that's all right.
But honestly, like, so like, you can't, no excuse. It's like, it's a fiver to go and see any film. True. Or you could, there's the Cineworld Unlimited.
I've got
card.
One.
Yeah,
they're the best, man.
You can go and see as many films in the cinema.
Do you know
want.
About that?
No, I'm just thinking about the fact she said her hometown cinema's Peckham, but I know she now lives in Westminster, darling.
Oh, you tried to get this street cred.
It just suddenly hit me, like, hold on a second.
I still go back to Peckham.
I'm pretty sure you go to, like, the 10,000-seater Odeon in Leicester Square, darling.
I live in Covent Garden at the moment, but...
Covent Garden!
At the moment, did you, like, move to Knightsbridge, darling?
But I'm from Lewisham, and so I always went to Peckham. From, and it stayed the same.
You know those moments where you're just like, hold on a second.
Hold on, you ain't from. What weird?
Living.
No, yeah. Listen, the Cineworld card though, bro. Honestly, you need to get one.
Is that the one? So, guys, Arnold's recommending a Cineworld card, and because our radio station can do what the fuck you want, we can promote a Cineworld card. I personally like Vue. Myself,
like View Cinemas?
I like View Cinemas myself.
Do they have a special like members card or anything?
I don't know. I tend to get in for free, so I don't really know about that kind of stuff. But I'm just throwing it out there. I like View Cinemas. Their popcorn tastes better. It's fresh. It's fresh.
Yeah.
It's fresh.
Well, yeah.
What's your choice of snack for the cinema?
I tend to not buy snacks from them.
You like a hot dog?
Do you know why? Because no, I don't like hot dog.
Why not?
6 inches and it vibrates.
Oh man.
No, I don't buy any food. I don't buy
you
any
don't
food.
Eat. I have to have something in
no,
the cinema.
No, because I feel like...
I have to snack.
Like, just the
something.
Other day, there was a guy next to me and he was eating popcorn, but he was so loud. I wanted to fly kick him. Oh, kick him.
Just knock the popcorn out of his hand.
Yeah, that's what I did him. He was so... Yeah. I thought, no, I don't want to be that guy.
No, I have something to eat. Sometimes I'll bring stuff. Sometimes I'll buy popcorn. And you know what? I banned myself from ever buying a hot dog or nachos. I was like, until I am in a film... I cannot.
You won't eat hot dogs.
I won't buy that snack.
So until you're in a film, so you won't have hot dogs in your mouth.
No, at the cinema. At the cinema.
No, yeah, she always has hot dogs.
So I was like, now I'm finally in a cinema movie. I can buy myself some nachos.
And you got another one in a couple of weeks.
Yes.
Oh, you're killing the game. What's that?
All the nachos everywhere.
She's gonna be like that in the cinema. Hot dog. Nacho.
Stop it. But you know what? Yeah, I love my cinema snack, so super excited. Yeah, that's Scottish Muscle.
Scottish Muscle,
oh yes,
fantastic. Produced by a wonderful company called Unstoppable Entertainment.
I've heard of them. They're
up and coming.
They're up and coming. They're doing a thing.
Isn't that Schmoll Schmucks?
And Mason and Mason Hazza. Mason Hazza.
And Mason Hazza.
Yeah, I've heard of them. Good guys, I heard. Right. So, right now, what are you going to play?
All right, I think we should go back to the Brotherhood soundtrack.
Thank you.
It has to be.
Arnold bumped the other track. Johanna was going to play some other track by some nonsense band, but we bumped it.
Chase and Status. But okay, we're going to go back to this was picked out by Arnold. So let me just make sure. So this song's called Fighting. It's by
a young MC called AJ Tracy, and we all love
this track. Big track, man. Big track, man.
So yeah, we're going to play this now. It's on the soundtrack
to Brotherhood, which is out
right
now.
Which is out now.
Go see it tonight after this show.
Go see it
now.
Background Chill, Johanna James and Noel Clark.
I went 3 steps backward, but then I came through 4. Man's never brought Jake to my mum's door. Man's trying to put peas in my mum's purse. Man's trying to mash peas off of one burst. I was doing MacD's with the footwork. Never been an athlete, man, it just burst. Then I never had peas, I was all cursed. Brothers in a cat B feeding all hurt. Now I spit bars and raves and man pull it. Everything they wanted to do, now I do it. Everything you say in your bars, I went through it. I was trying to kick the shots at Rude Hullet. I was trying to kick the shots at Van Basten. I'm doing Outlook soon, I'll do Glaston. Grime heads running around cause I gassed them. Brothers want a lyrical war and I'll blast them. No gold through boy, I want an Aston. Who these actor guys, I wanna cast them. All the pangers on road, I'm gonna catch them. All the hitters calling my names, I'm gonna back them. No go through boy, I wanna Aston. Who are these actor guys, I wanna cast them. All the pangers on road, I'm gonna catch them. All the hitters calling my name, I'm gonna back them. Man, hear my bars in a runway. You wanna verse, then you better bring 1K. I do gram cars, I don't do fun K. Run through the club to spend about a monkey. Gal, hear my bars in their gas. If you wanna feature, bring me them racks. I was in West putting work on a map. Now I'm trying to build a life, putting work on the tracks. They wanna knock man down, but I'm still right here and I'm fighting. Full belly, and I keep coming back strong like a Viking. I done spent time in the mountains, man's been hiking. They just wanna see man fall, but I'm still here fighting. They wanna knock man down, but I'm right here fighting. They wanna knock man down, but I'm right here fighting. They wanna knock man down, but I'm right here fighting. They wanna knock man down, but I'm right here fighting. But still I fight on, man's been riding, starting like a ride on. I'm not any side dish you could ride on. Think that you're really on job, you could try it on. Yeah, maniac, that's my don. Low grass round me, watch for the python. I'll never let a bygone be a bygone. New brothers need a PC you could type on. I need GBP by the mountain. Marble floors, palm trees and a fountain. You ain't gonna scare no one, keep shouting. Everyone asleep on, man keep doubting. I'm gonna do this, man's gonna prove it. I ain't never touched it, if I can't move it. Common sense gone, cause these brothers don't use it. If I hear another miss drop, I'ma lose it. Man hear my bars in a runway. You want a verse, then you better bring 1K. I do gram cause I don't do fun K. Run through the club to spend about a monkey. Gal hear my bars in their gas. If you want a feature, bring me them racks. I was in West putting work on a map. Now I'm trying to build a life putting work on the tracks. They want to knock man down, but I'm still right here and I'm fighting. Full belly, and I keep coming back strong like a Viking. I done spent time in the mountains, man's been hiking. They just want to see man fall, but I'm still here fighting. They wanna knock man down, but I'm right here fighting. They wanna knock man down, but I'm right here fighting. They wanna knock. They wanna knock man down, but I'm right here fighting. They wanna knock man. They wanna knock man down, but I'm right here fighting. They wanna knock man down, but I'm still right here when I'm fighting. Full belly, and I keep coming back strong like a Viking. I done spent time in the mountains, man's been hiking. They just wanna see man cool, but I'm still here fighting. They wanna knock man down, but I'm right here fighting. And I keep coming back strong like a Viking. I done spent time in the mountains, man's been hiking. They just wanna see man fall, but I'm still here fighting.
What a tune that is.
I know, that's a pretty good tune.
From the Brotherhood soundtrack, Brotherhood, the film is out
now.
It's one of my fave tunes on the Brotherhood album, man.
Yeah, it's great.
Well, one of the things we want to do on this show is review films, tell you what we think you should be seeing or avoiding. And so this week I went off and did my research and I saw a couple of films. And the first film that I saw was Purge Election Year, which Arnold has just told me in the break that he's actually seen as well.
Yeah, I've seen
so
it.
You can pitch in on this.
Yeah, because I've been a bit busy this week, guys.
You
just throwing it out there.
What have you been doing?
What? Just promoting it. Promoting
this film. Right, I'll let you off doing your homework.
Traveling the country.
I will let you off this time doing your homework, but I did my homework. So I'm a fan of the Purge films. I think the concept was amazing. Which anyone who doesn't know what the Purge films are, it's the idea that in there's some dystopian future, all crime has been reduced because it has been made legal for 12 hours only in America.
To do what you want.
To purge your urge to mainly murder people, I think. But all crime's legal, and it's just really freaking creepy. And they've made three, this is the third film, the final, third and final
it's
film.
Third and final one, yeah.
And this year, it's the stories follow. The first film followed one family who were on, their house was on lockdown during the purge. They've got to survive the night while all these murderers are running around. The second film was about, it was like a group of, a cross of five different people who met on the night and tried to battle their way through the city amongst all the crazy people. And the third one is about
election.
Yeah, it's more political, which weirdly was timed with the American elections as well. Well, or not probably weirdly, probably on purpose. And I really enjoy, I went in there going like, are you just rinsing it for a third? Yeah. Or like, is there enough story here to make it interesting? Yeah. But I loved it. Like costumes. I was, I mean, I watched it on my own as well, which I don't really
is
like.
Is it scary?
It's scary, but they say that it, the director said it's, they wanted it to be more action, not horror. That was his intention for all the films.
I think it's definitely going to be the last one, because if I remember correctly, with this final one,
don't give it away.
That's going to give it away. No, I think it is the last one, though.
So can I just ask a question? Just pretend I'm the layperson here.
Right.
This film is about people allowed to do any crime they want for 12 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then after that, it goes back to being normal.
Yeah. And apparently in this society, that crime is like on the lowest it's ever been. Like people don't commit crimes in the year.
Have you not seen it at all?
No, they look terrible to me.
Because, no, it was honestly the way that they film. They're so punchy. If you want to go to the cinema and have like a punchy, racy hour and a half. And this one, they went in a different direction and they went more into sort of religious cult way. So people purge, they purge religiously and they have sort of mass murder, like literally in,
sounds charming,
in a church as a mass. So there was all sorts of more horror things, and people tend to, they treat it like a Halloween. They dress up in these cool masks, and this one was interesting because they had like a girl gang, specifically all girls, and they came out and they were wearing all these like amazing,
and they came to the shop, right?
Yeah, and they're trying to get their candy bars, and they're going to kill for their, it's just like, it's basically the whole thing's a tool, I guess a piece on kind of what would happen if we were allowed to let off true. And I remember thinking, looking at it, being like, this is sick, like this is an entertainment. And then I realised I was watching a film about it and I was being entertained, so I was like, there must be a small part of us that are a bit like that.
So that's out now, is it?
That is out now, yeah.
But and that should be the second film you see after Brotherhood.
After Brotherhood, if you're still looking for something else, I would recommend going to see Purge, because, you know, get ready for Halloween. Halloween's next month. We are in September now.
Is Halloween next month?
It is.
Yes. I don't celebrate them pagan days.
Me neither, man.
I
kick down a pumpkin display in Whole Foods, man. Mate. I don't mess about.
I'll dash the eggs back at them when they
kids, just stay there. I'm just going to throw you some candy.
I'll get some candy.
Boil in a kettle.
On
a kettle.
Purge on them.
You throw the water down. By the time it hits them, it's not boiling anymore.
That is exactly the Purge attitude. So, I did a little bit of research about the movie because I was interested. And like the director said, so here's some little factoids behind the scenes.
Fantastic.
How did the director and the writer even come up with the concept? Because it's a pretty dark concept. And he said that he had a near-death experience with his wife in the car. And this other driver sort of came at them and nearly killed them. And they got out and they had a bit of a hustle. And like, the guy didn't seem remorseful at all in any way for nearly killing them. And when they got back in the car, the wife went, oh, if we could just, you know, if I got one free one a year, oh, that'd be him. Oh, and that's fantastic. Where he kind of got the idea. And he's like, oh, what if we could get one free one a year?
His wife some handbags, man.
Yeah, so it all came from his wife, which is cool. Originally, they were going to have it as a slash comedy. And there was going to be like comedic elements. And then when they got into it, they're like, no, that ruins it entirely. So we're going to keep it completely serious. There is a lot of the scenes were improvised because they shot specifically the third one. They shot it guerrilla style out and around in the city. So because a lot of it, it's all at night. So outside the candy shop and stuff, they kind of just let the girls go wild with their chainsaws.
I don't believe that.
Apparently.
I don't believe it. Like, we all work in the business, guys. Like, this is a studio movie. They didn't be shooting nothing guerrilla style.
Oh, well, they got money, man.
I can imagine though that a lot of the original one was very low budget.
I can believe that.
But wait, when you say the original was very low budget, to what standards? Like that's
like probably 5 million, made about 100.
Exactly. Okay, all right. Well, the budget of this one was 12 million.
The newest one,
no,
right?
Maybe it was.
The only way that they did guerrilla style is if that 12 million went in the director and his wife's pocket and they made it for 1 million.
Or the rest went into promotion. Do you know what I mean?
Well, just to put it into perspective, so they spent 12 million on the Purge film.
That's a lot of money.
And they got a 200 million return.
See what I'm saying?
See,
and which was less than, so 12 million is actually less than the catering bill on the film Oblivion. You know Tom Cruise's sci-fi film Oblivion?
Yeah. How much was the catering?
The catering bill was more than 12 million.
That's what I'm saying.
On that film.
For catering?
Yeah.
What were they eating on that film?
You just give them their chicken and chips, right?
You've been on an American film like me, right? So you know craft services.
At some point.
When you try to trick the man and be like, yo, can I have an omelette with goat cheese? And he's like, all right.
Yeah, quickly. Gives you everything you want.
So really? The Purge. Like thumbs up or thumbs down?
So I say massive thumbs up. Like, I enjoyed it and I thought that they kept enough. It wasn't just a repeat of the other ones. They put in all twists and turns and you're jumping through the whole time. Right, so the second film, I went to see, I got invited to an exclusive preview screening. So this film isn't out yet, but it's going to come out in the next couple of weeks, which is Blair Witch. Which is Blair Witch 2.
Wow.
Ooh, eerie. Well, this isn't the right film, but it's scary. Ooh. Scary music. Scary, you know, music. Just to get a little... So I'm not a fan of horror films. Like, I have an overactive imagination. I just tend to stay away from them because I know that I'm going to have grief afterwards. But I couldn't resist going to see the film. And I really enjoyed it as a piece of technical
And that's coming from someone who doesn't like horror films.
So I know. That's well, it was an interesting concept because obviously the first film was super low budget and it was all filmed on sort of shaky hand cans, which people at the time in the cinema were throwing up because they weren't used to everything.
That's right.
Yeah. Blair Witch was the first in its kind at the time.
It was really like...
And the marketing for Blair Witch, I might add, back in the day was genius.
Amazing.
Because everybody wasn't sure whether the legend was real or not.
People thought it was real.
Yeah.
And they were apparently...
It's brilliant.
They thought it was a real tape that they found.
Yeah, exactly.
And the iconic scenes with the snot in the girl's nose. That, come on, man. Amazing.
Well, this film, it kind of... It's a remake... But it's also like an update, but it's also a sequel in the sense that the girl Heather from the original film, Heather's little brother has now grown up and somebody finds a DV tape, so getting a little bit more ahead in technology.
Yeah.
And when they review it, they think they see Heather in the tape. So they decide there's a documentary, his friends are documentary makers, and they're like, what, let's go back out into the woods. What a great idea. And we're going to go and see if we can find Heather from the original movie. And this time, but they go out and they're fully prepared and they have a drone. They have these like all the brand new technology. So they've got like the Canon Ds and they've got their vlog camera, each one. And they've got each character in the film, there's six of them go out into the woods and they've each got like an earpiece camera. So that means that as a filmmaker, you can choose whether you're looking at the POV of each of the characters. So you can do this shot, this shot, this shot. And then you can do drone shots. They also set webcams up in the woods.
You can't choose when you're watching the film, though.
No, you can't choose.
But they do.
But I'm just imagining, as the director, I was imagining, like, or the editor, I was like, this is amazing. You can see, it's not all just, like, shaky cam. It's very cleverly, but legitimately, a group of people in the woods.
Can I ask you a question?
Go on.
So, in terms of the film... Mm-hmm. If I remember correctly from the first one, do you ever get to see the enemy?
Do we see Witchy? Because I think I see her in Sainsbury's round my ends. There's a woman, I'm like, that's the Blair Witch, I'm pretty sure.
In this one, they go a little bit further back into the history of who the witch is and the legend of the witch. And apparently, if you look at her, you die. So it's all around this thing of like, just don't look. She can be there next to you, but as long as you don't look.
You could be like, and she could be like,
exactly,
in your ears.
Yeah, so right up to the end of the film.
But if you look at her.
So you're safe if you go right into the corner because it was like in the legend.
Bam!
You're just going to give them the people's
elbow.
Can
I ask a quick question as well before you finish review?
Yeah.
In the group of people that go for it, is there black people in that group?
Yeah.
There is. Mm-hmm. This film's not real.
And he went to the woods with them.
Thank you.
It don't make no sense.
This film is not real.
It's a black girl. No,
I'm not having it. Black people don't be sneaking into the woods.
I'm telling you, I'm gone. If I hear... Are you not... Is that... What's the girl's name? Is that Rare Tete in the video?
Yeah, no,
let's go to the woods. Get
Arnie! Get the car! Get the car! Yo!
We out!
I'm out.
Gone.
How many black people die in Mount Everest?
None.
Because we're climbing our fucking mountains in the cold.
We ain't climbing that shit, bro. I'm telling you.
How many black people get eaten by sharks?
None.
No, and another point I wanted to make about this film is that, you know, when you're in a film and you're and someone's like, what's that noise? Let's go over there. And you're like, no, you wouldn't.
Don't tell me they do that in this film.
No. In this film, they do it as if, well, that's why it's probably more scary. They are actually in your position. So they first go into the woods. The very moment that something freaky happens, they hear a weird noise. And they go, guys, what's that noise? Should we go check it out? Everyone goes, no, fuck that shit. And then as soon as it does get a little bit creepy, they all go, right, we're out. Like, this is not funny.
They've taken diverse casting too far, bruv, because black people are not sneaking in the woods looking for witches.
And that's the truth.
But no, the whole point is they get stuck in the woods, and this one gets a little bit, I want to say, sort of sci-fi paranormal.
Ah, wow.
Does another question.
Yeah.
Does that said black person, do they die?
Oh, that's a spoiler.
That's a spoiler.
You can't go there.
I need to know.
You need to watch the film.
I need to watch the film.
They probably die first.
That's just what I need to know.
But like,
if they die first, we're back on track. It's normal.
I can buy that they went into the woods because they die first.
Yeah.
But it was so well acted, and yeah, and you really felt for them because they did react normally. Like, they were freaking out, and then they were trying to get out of the woods, and they couldn't get out when they wanted to. Stuff happens that stops them from getting out.
There is nothing that could happen that would stop me getting out of those woods.
I'm telling you, well,
unless it's some juju, bruv, that's stopping
exactly,
you.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Dark magic that you can't go.
Because they got all GPSs and stuff, like everything you would have now. And like, what happens what happens if your GPS takes
that
you?
That scares me. That Blair Witch stuff scares me. So, Johanna James, Blair Witch 2, thumbs up, thumbs down.
I would say massive thumbs up, especially if you're looking for one of those. I was like on the edge of my seat. I was like,
thumbs up.
Definitely thumbs up.
Cool.
And I don't even like horror films.
All right, I might check that out. Guys, Blair Witch. After Brotherhood.
After Brotherhood.
Which is out now, by the way.
Hold on, what is, so Blair Witch is out now?
No. That's coming out, I think it's on the 16th of September. It's an early, I saw an early preview.
Oh, that's right. So when you've seen Brotherhood 8 times, check out the Blair Witch.
So once you've seen Brotherhood 8 times and then you've seen United Kingdom 8 times, then you go watch
Blair Witch. And yeah, so I did a little bit of research about the original Blair Witch because I was like, okay. And yeah, like I said before, there was a lot of motion sickness in the cinema because they'd never seen that kind of thing before. It took just 8 days to shoot the original. This is not the new one, the original. And the actors, they were given less food each day to build up the tension. Because they shot it linear as well.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and a lot of it was improv. A lot of the actors didn't know. They were just put in that scenario and told to sort of improv it.
So no script, no definite script.
They're just scenarios. And then they were told to film. They filmed it all themselves. 19 hours of usable footage was, like, collected. And they had to go through that to make it down to, like, an hour and a half. They literally went up to the woods for 8 days and got the shit scared out of them.
That's terrible. So, I don't like the sound of
that. So basically they were actually scared.
It's the best way.
Because they went to this open casting call. I saw an interview with the actors, and they said that it was just for a self-filmed improv-style movie, feature film, and they didn't know what it was, kind of thing. And they got cast. One of the guys got cast just because he was the only one that knew how to hold a camera and use a camera.
Wow. You know, so they didn't tell them what it was, so they could pay them, like, equity minimum. It's like minimum, isn't it?
Trust me.
And then they went out to the woods, and so, like,
with no back end.
Certain points in the film, they were just put in a situation, and they were thrown, freaky stuff was thrown at them, and they just had to react to it, and a lot of it was genuine. So this film, the new film, obviously, is a lot more, because our audiences have evolved as well. We need more entertainment. We need it to be more jumpy. I'm massively claustrophobic. There's a scene where this girl, she has to go underground to escape the witch, and I was like, I was dying in the cinema just watching it, like, and you had to leave. But it was they up the game, they up the scare factor, they up the jump factor. Boom, everything's just like up.
This is just a random question. So, see the actors from the original one.
Mm-hmm.
Have any of them gone on to do any other things?
Not really. Mm. A few little bits here and there, but their careers fizzled out pretty quickly. Within 4 or 5 years, I think they were kind of out. But they did get quite a bit of money from that first one.
I can imagine, right?
What else did you see?
That is all I saw for the film reviews of this week.
Oh, wow. Fantastic.
Well, it's Honest Film Reviews and a little bit of TV.
Honest Film Reviews and a
little bit of TV.
And a little bit of TV.
Oh, yours is better than mine, damn it, Arnold.
A little bit of TV.
What film would you like to review, Noel?
Me? Me? No, no film, really.
I thought you had to...
Yeah, no, she's right. So, guys, on DVD right now, Captain America, Civil War. Now, listen. My reviews are not as long as Johanna's reviews, right?
Mine are in-depth. I do my homework, man.
I'm going to tell you. Captain America Civil War is on DVD and downloads now, whatever, you know, iTunes and all the other places you can get them. Essentially, it's part of the Avengers and the Marvel franchise. And you guys, if you missed this one, are missing a treat, because this, essentially, I think, is one of the best films of the collection, so you should immediately watch it. So you've got Captain America falling out with the Avengers versus Iron Man falling out with some of the Avengers, and they both take sides, so it becomes a civil war, and the new Spider-Man makes an appearance.
He does, the new young guy.
The new Spider-Man makes an appearance and is cool as fuck. So, guys, Captain America Civil War out now, iTunes, DVDs, Blu-rays, all that thing from Marvel. Go check it out.
I recommend that one as well.
After you've watched Brotherhood.
I watched that on the airplane and I loved it. And that's the first Spider-Man that's actually age-appropriately cast. Like, he's actually 17 rather than
32 in high school, and you're like, bruv, you should be getting
you graduated.
Only thing about that film was, because I love it, but where was Thor?
Well, you see...
Where was he?
He's off. He's doing his Thor thing.
You see,
because it had everyone but Thor.
But you got to wait till you see Thor Rangar. Thor 3 is coming soon, and that will explain.
And that will explain why he was
explain everything.
Why he was
yeah.
busy. He was yeah. otherwise.
Have you
engaged.
Seen the little comic thing that they've? This little. Have you seen Marvel have released this video? This funny video of Thor, and he's talking about, why wasn't I in that film?
I've not seen that. I'm going to check it out.
It's proper.
It's
you've seen it.
Really going around.
And he's saying that basically he took time out and he went and he's lived with some random guy called Tom. Yeah. And Tom's his friend now.
Was it Facebook Tom? No, MySpace Tom.
It's not MySpace Tom. With his classic picture like that.
I don't know where that brother is.
He's got money, man. He's cool, man.
Chilling.
He's got money, man.
I just realised that it got pretty geeky, so I get to play my geeky button. Because we're talking about all our comic-y stuff. Amazing. Okay, I think we've got a quick email to go to, and then we've got our next guest in the studio.
Too quickly, right?
Coming up. So, really quickly, this is from Sally. She says, "Hello, I really want to know what films make you cry oceans of salty tears. What films has really made you cry? Let's name one."
I don't cry.
Ever.
For films, I've never cried.
Oh my God.
I can't even lie, I've got a few films where I cry. I cried at Brotherhood.
Which part?
At the end.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but.
With the money and that.
Don't say anything else. Yeah.
Spoilers.
We need a spoiler
alert. Arnold's eyes just went.
The Notebook. Is it Notebook?
Oh, my God. At the end of The Notebook, I cried to the point where I make kind of noises. I'm like.
Are you one of them?
Okay, guys, we need to. I don't cry at films.
Okay.
Another email.
I'd say the note. Right. Hello. I'm not really a fan of superhero films, but I want to get into them. Which is a good one to try first? From Julian. Captain America.
Yeah.
Deadpool. Deadpool was still one of my top films of the year.
I got an email here from Dom. Dom, what's your favourite chick flick on romantic comedy? I'm trying to woo a lady, and I think tonight's the night. I will seal the deal, so I got to have the right film.
What?
Yo, Dom, listen, bro. Oh my gosh.
What can you put on?
Yo, man, Dom, Pretty Woman. Pretty Woman.
Woman. Pretty Woman.
Pretty Woman. Yeah. That's just romantic shit, Dom. I'm telling you, by the time the end credits roll, panties will be off, bro.
Quickly.
Yeah. Because The Notebook's good, but by the end you're just a mess and you're in tears and there's too much snot. But Pretty Woman's just like standard funny.
Pretty Woman. You got another one? Hey guys, please can you give me a shout out? I love your films, Noel, because I'm from Paul in Westside. Here's your shout out.
Big up.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we're about to get our next guest in the studio, so I think we're just going to run to our next song while we get ready for that. So I've taken this from the Purge film. They've got some pretty cool songs in there. So this is 20th Century Boy by T-Rex. So let's just go to that, and then we'll get our next guest on. Back Row and Chill.
Yeah. Noel Clark and Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
Hi. Love that song.
Very good song.
Sexy T-Rex. Welcome. We've got our next guest in the studio.
Hello.
So welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
And I don't want to mispronounce your last name, but it's Ajura. I want to go Onashile.
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 I've got a name. People mispronounce my name all the time.
Yours?
Johanna James. But people are like, Johanna? Like, yeah. It's
you don't sit down, honey. You don't need it. Cool. So hold
different.
On. So pronounce your full name again for me.
Ajura Onashile.
Adieu Onashile. Woo! That's a queen's name, bro.
I know, man.
You know what I mean? That's a queen's name. I'm not even beautiful. Playing. That's a queen's name. I'm about to leave my missus out here. Onashile. Woo!
The power of a name.
All right, so tell us about yourself, eh?
So I'm here because I've got a show on that I wrote and directed.
Some theatre, darling.
as part of Africa Utopia at the South Bank Centre. Mm-hmm. And it's called Expensive Shit. And it's about toilet attendants.
Wow. That's amazing. So, is the show expensive though?
Is it expensive? It's £10.
£10. That's not too bad though, is it?
That's not too bad.
It's a live theatre.
Yeah.
Not bad at bargain.
Maybe could be like average price. Would that be like, or is the name to do with the actual piece?
The name's to do with the actual piece, but also it's based in two toilets. One in the Shrine Nightclub in Lagos. Shrine Nightclub was Fela Kuti's club when he was alive. Fela Kuti, yeah.
Yes.
And the second set of toilets is in a club called The Shimmy in Glasgow, where a story broke in 2013 about a two-way mirror in the girls' toilets, and men could pay to go and sit in a room, £800 per night, sit in a room and watch the girls' toilets without the girls knowing. So all I've done.
That's real?
Yeah, it's real.
And Noel's like, where is this?
Arnie, that sounds real.
Where's this place?
That's terrible. Give me the address of this place so I can complain about this. This is awful. Just give me text me the postcode. Arnie, we got to go down there and stop this nonsense.
Yeah, we've got to go
down
and tell them to stop.
So is it the same character? She goes from Nigeria to Glasgow.
Yeah, basically. So she's an older woman in Glasgow, and she's a toilet attendant, but her past is as a wannabe dancer in Fela Kuti's band in the 90s in Nigeria.
So this is the true story?
Well, it's based on true facts, but you know, I've had
creative license.
Yes.
Creative license,
yes.
And you wrote it yourself?
Yeah, I did.
Amazing.
And you star in it?
No. I've got four actresses. Yeah, four. It's a four-hander.
Okay.
Yeah, so they all dance, switch accents, locations.
So I have a question for you.
Yeah.
You know, this sounds amazing, and I would love to see it. I have a question for you, though. As a black woman, writing and directing, has it been a challenge to get to where you've got? Do you look at people like Amarasanti and kind of go, man, that's kind of my inspiration? Or
you got to make your own work.
Yeah.
Because nobody's going to give it to you.
That's what I'm talking about.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the reality.
Yeah.
I was first an actress and, you know, I felt I was all right, but I just wasn't getting the parts.
Yeah.
And I knew that if I wanted to create my own work, I had to go for it.
Yeah.
So,
amazing.
Yeah, that's what I did.
That's amazing. You hear that, guys?
You've just got to go for it.
You
can't wait for people to
just write your own stuff.
Yeah, write it.
I was scared to write.
Arnold's like letting off gas in the corner.
It's like I'm saying congratulations.
He's nervous. He's in the presence of a queen.
Yeah, I'm nervous.
The queen is here.
When she says her name again.
Your Royal Highness.
Sorry,
no. Oh, that's great.
So you wrote, yeah, because I used to be so scared of writing because I thought being a writer was some sort of like far off high. But then I was like, no, I've got some ideas, I've got some stories and ideas, and I'm just going to scribble that down. So how did you start going?
Did anyone encourage your writing?
I think Schmalk did. Yeah.
Oh, right, okay, sorry, carry on.
That's good because I think that's part of it as well, is having people around you who can help you and inspire you and support you as you're writing. But I think theatre needs different voices, so it's not about getting it right. There's no right way of writing. It's just a voice, and every voice is original, so just put it on paper. Absolutely, that's
fantastic.
And how long is the show? Is it?
It's 55 minutes, crammed 55 minutes.
An intense
like to bore audiences, so there's a lot going on.
It's amazing. And how long is this Festa Africa Utopia Festival?
So it's up till the 4th of September. And the whole point of the festival is to celebrate the fact that Africa can lead the way in terms of like technology, gender, art, film, all these things. Because, you know, Africa gets a bad press generally.
Yeah.
And so it's just highlighting all the different things that the continent leads on. So there's lots of arts exhibition, there's dance, there's music, the Cape Town Opera is there. their fashion shows. It's really exciting.
That's amazing. And how many shows are happening at the Africa Utopia?
So we have, I'm afraid we're sold out, but we're coming back.
Oh yeah, I was thinking that we must be reprising. You know,
so this is a shout out to anybody who wants to bring my show to London. We're coming back. Yeah.
Guys, anyone listening, you've got to bring the show to London. It sounds amazing.
Yeah, be good. We've got two shows tomorrow and one show on Sunday, but it's sold out. But there's loads of other stuff going on that's really, really exciting. Like Cape Town Opera are doing this massive opera about the life of Nelson Mandela.
Yeah.
And that's an amazing piece of work. Mm. So that's there. There's like a whole exhibition on dandyism, African dandyism.
Tell me what that is. For those who don't know what dandyism is, let's tell me what dandyism is.
Can you help me? Right, dandyism. I think it's just about guys who dress in a flamboyant
like
way.
Like the dandies.
Arnold's a bit dandy.
He's a bit dandy.
I can get dandy still sometimes.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's just about looking fly and looking good. Flower. Yeah, you look quite good now.
You look good now, Mom. Andy, Arnold, you're looking very dandy, sir.
Thank you very much, sir.
Look at you, your little dandy line.
Like a dandy line.
Cute. Oh, this is so exciting. And have you previously to this show, is this like your debut show or have you have?
I wrote another show actually about a woman called Henrietta Lacks. You heard this story? The first cells to be kept alive outside the body were from a black woman in Baltimore. Except nobody asked her in the 1950s. Exactly.
Yeah.
And her family found out in the 1990s, by which point her cells were in 90% of labs in the world. They'd been bought and sold and bought and sold and bought and sold. The birth of the pharmaceutical industry was based on her cells. The woman didn't know. And her family didn't know. So I read this brilliant book called The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks, which you can get. And I was just furious, man.
Yeah.
I was furious that I didn't know about this woman who's affected all our lives. If you've taken a pill stronger than an aspirin, you owe it to her.
Because of the fact that her cells survived.
Yeah, and also they tested all sorts of things on her cells because they were the first human cells that you could test stuff on.
That's amazing. Like,
so Oprah's doing a film.
That's what I was going to say. Like, are you writing the film script or anything like
Wouldn't that be great?
Have they worked out why her cells survived?
Well, I think it's because they were cancerous cells, right? But nobody really knows. And that's why her family thinks there's like spiritual dimension to it. Yeah. Like that she was pissed off with the way that they treated her.
Because
the cells
were
like, because it was during Jim Crow and she would have gone into a coloured hospital and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Speech marks on coloured, right?
Yeah.
And so they feel like it's her cells kind of going, I'm gonna,
I can have them immortal cells, I'll have some of them still, though, you know.
Yeah,
immortal
pill. That's amazing. Well, that's an amazing story, and obviously, it'd be interesting. Hopefully, they don't Americanize the story too much, and Hollywood it too much, you know what I mean?
And
would you ever think about a film of your show or a TV show?
Actually, I have been approached, and it's interesting because I don't know how sexy toilet attendants are.
I know a few that are not bad, you know.
Well, that's sexy.
Yeah, not bad, you know.
I've seen a few uncles in there
strong women.
It's funny because like male toilet attendants tend to be younger than female ones.
Interesting.
Yeah, not that I've seen that many, and I've hung around in boys' toilets that much.
You know that.
I see them, they seem to be younger to me. They seem to be like, you can get guys like in their 20s, early 30s, right? Women are generally like.
That's because you guys are smarter 40s. Than us, and you've had your career, and then you're chilling, and like, I'll be a toilet attendant. And the young guys are whatless, and they're like, you know what? I'm not going to go to the toilet.
The guys, they look older, so I don't know if it's the toilet smell aging them.
Oh, man. Can you think of a worse job? I can't think of a worse job.
I can think of a few worse jobs than that.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
I don't know, but worse.
Not at the moment.
Shit shoveler.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Although they do have to do some of that.
I don't know. I think there's separate cleaners that come in. The attendants are the ones that spray
thing.
You with the tea and give you the towel.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? I didn't realise they don't get paid.
What? No, they take the tips.
They take the tips.
They live purely for the 8 hours during the club. They just get tips.
I thought
tips.
That was a basic.
No. So what they've started doing is they get paid as cleaners in the day and then they just stay through the night.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's all on tips. Mm.
But it's a cool subject because everyone's been to the toilet
I've
never been to the toilet either.
Everyone's been to the door and everyone's met an attendee. They've all got an attendee story especially when you get a really nice one. You know, you're just like, I really needed a temple. Thanks for giving that to me for free.
like, do they do tampons in there? Yeah, man.
Yeah, they got in the girls' one, mate. It
one
is like
one time I needed one.
It's like a boot in there.
Listen, that's a long story that I won't even go into.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. Sorry, it's been so brief. Yeah. But we're nearly at the end of the show now. So
September 1st to the 4th is Africa Utopia. At the Africa Utopia at the South Bank.
It's
a,
but come and see lots and lots of other things as well. It's really exciting. I love the South Bank.
What's going on?
Love the South Bank Centre.
Well, thank you so much. Well, we're just going to play a little trail now and then we're going to go into the end of the show. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. One more time.
Adura Onoshele.
Oh my God.
What?
FUBAR Radio presents
Screen Talk with Dan Clark. I have with me Tom Davis. Before every gig I used to listen to Leona Lewis. If I get up any day and I don't feel 100%.
If you get up.
Sometimes I just lay there just listening to Power Ballads.
Yeah, right.
If I get the light that comes into your life, mate, will come through a Power Ballad.
I had no idea Leona Lewis had that power.
Yeah. Jesus, man. That voice. There's days that I genuinely sit at my desk and I think, God, what's she doing now? She gave me so much hope. So much.
And what, you're worried about?
No, I'm worried about what she's doing, so I'd like to return a favour.
Every Friday,
Screen Talk with Dan Clark.
From 12 PM on FUBAR Radio.
Yo, we're back. The final segment of the show.
Yo.
It's been great. I've had such fun tonight. Tonight? Is that the weird twilight?
This evening. This dusk.
The dusk. It's Friday night, people. I hope you have a great Friday night, whatever you're up to, whatever film you do choose.
Excuse me?
To see.
Brotherhood! Yeah, thank you.
Brotherhood!
Which you're in, I might add.
I'm good in it, actually. And you, everyone. But not you.
Not so me.
In the studio, we've got.
No, don't like me.
Well, that's correct.
That's correct. It's all good.
We need to introduce who you are. So, obviously, next week, Noel and Arnold, they're off to Toronto for the TIFF Festival.
Are they? What are you doing there?
The TIFF Festival, the Toronto Film Festival.
Oh, Toronto Film Festival.
So, we've got TJ next week. TJ's going to be filling in for Noel and he's going to be with me.
So this is
TJ, aka TJ World.
Yeah. That's me.
You're an actor in your own right as well.
Yeah, I'm an actor. I've been acting since I was a kid.
Yeah, so what were you in again when you were a kid?
I started off in a program called Kaching. I knew that was coming. I hate you. And that's how I kind of know Arnold, because he was a child star as well. He was in Grange Hill, weren't you? Yeah. That's how we love each other. Old CBBC buddies.
CBBC buddy.
Yeah. That's right.
But then these shows sound wonderful. I might just, you know.
They sound
wonderful. They sound wonderful.
Before them, there was only Postman Pat. Oh God! No, don't like me.
No. But honestly, you were in Kaching. I remember watching you in Kaching when I was
really?
A kid.
Oh really?
Yeah, I watched Kaching.
Yeah,
of course I did.
When I was a lot fatter.
Yeah, it was massive.
Plump.
You're still pretty plump now. I just want to throw that out there.
Hey, look here. A six pack is better than a keg. Yeah, that's what they say, but it's not true.
So listen. So you're going to be on the show money. When a lot. You're actually one of our co-hosts.
Yes,
especially when I'm out doing my filmy stuff and doing shit all around the world and shit. You're going to be in here with Johanna smashing it and taking over the show.
Smashing the show.
They've done that already, bro. Oh, like, that's like standard.
Yeah, well, you know, there was that one time at Bandcamp. Yeah, but no, I am going
to
be filling in.
Accent, by the way.
I am going to be filling in for Noel when he's off working his magic around the world. I will be in keeping the show rolling, keeping the ball rolling.
Having
you know,
fun.
And sometimes there will also be.
We've also got Jack Binstead, who's in Bad Education.
Yeah.
Wow.
And we've also got Kevin Freshwater lined up, so we've got a block.
Oh, nice.
Co-hosts. Joe, you've got some great co-hosts when I'm not about. Maybe I should not come back.
Surrounded by men. No, you're my favourite. But I'm surrounded by talented men all the time.
And also, we're also going to have a film reviewer come in.
Yes.
Called Lucy Patterson.
She
does some real world review shit, and she's going to be coming in reviewing films as well with you.
Yeah, she may help my film reviews because I do a lot of homework, and I love talking film with anyone who will listen.
Sounds like you have an action packed couple of weeks coming up, man.
You're going to have to come back as well.
I'm going to come back, definitely.
Yeah. That's it. Next week's meant to be amazing. Who we got in again?
Well, next week we have got Dot Brown.
Dot Brown. Woo! Yes, he's in the new Gervais film. What's it called?
Life on the Road.
Life on the Road.
Which is you should watch after you've watched. Brotherhood,
yeah. of course. Yeah. And yeah, it came from a sketch that they did, and it's developed into a film. So I'm looking forward. I think I'm going to go watch that this week. I'll check that out after I watch Brotherhood, of course.
Of course.
And then go watch that again.
Is that out now? It's already out. Yeah. So we're coming to the end of the show. We're going to play one of the last songs now. So
we're beating it.
What song is it?
Well,
is it beat?
No. Right. So what I did is obviously I try and pick songs that are connected to films, yeah. But Blair Witch doesn't have a soundtrack because it doesn't have.
So it's got that ding, 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 ding. That's the, you know, the theme tune.
What is that, mate?
Look, I'm not a singer.
Just press two at the same time.
I don't know why, but I liked it.
No, what I did is I looked up the top films of 1990, not top films, top songs of 1999 when Blair Witch was released. Yeah. And I just picked my favourite, which was No Scrubs by TLC.
Pigeon was better though.
So we're going to be out.
This is Back Row and Chill.
With Johanna James.
Yes.
No Clark.
T-Roll.
Thank you for all our guests today.
All our guests, especially
Queen Oshalana. Queenie.
Wajali
Riz Ahmed.
And Arnold Ochoa.
And my main man, my brother from another. I love you. Arnold
Ochoa. Love you too, bro.
We will see you all next week, guys. Have a good weekend.
Go see Brotherhood, sit in the back row and chill.
A scrub is a guy that thinks he's flying, is also known as a buster. Always talking about what he wants and just sits on his broke ass. So
no,
I don't want your number.
No,
I don't wanna give you mine. And
no,
I don't wanna meet you.
Never rising. I don't find it surprising if you don't have the cheese to please me and bounce from here to the coast of overseas. So let me give you something to think about. Inundate your mind with intentions to turn you out. Can't forget to focus on the picture in front of me. Do it clear as DVD on digital TV screens. Satisfy my appetite with something spectacular. Check your vernacular and then I get back to ya with diamond like precision. Insatiable is what I envision. Can't detect acquisition from your friend's expedition. Mr. Big Willie, if you really want to know. Could I be a silly hoe? Not really. T-bars and all my senoritas and stepping on your felines, but you don't hit me though.
This is a FUBAR Radio podcast.
Go to fubarradio.com for more details.